Right.
Morning, Detective Sergeant Jukes.
Less of the chit-chat.
Macduff's flat's on the second floor. Can't miss it. Turn left after you climbed over the sofa.
Any sign of Macduff?
I don't know what he looks like. Yeah, apparently one of Arla actually saw him last night, stopped him, right, and get this, he only let him... It was you, wasn't it, Sarge? So, what's he look like?
Not the sort of bloke who'd shoot Gordon Way, drag the body 3 miles, then strangle it, stuff it in the cupboard and blow up the whole cottage for a grand finale.
Tall? Short?
See that Greek restaurant down the road, the bloke in the phone box? Which reminds me, I need to talk to the RSPCA. My mobile's flat. You got yours?
Not with me. RSPCA?
Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. By Douglas Adams.
Sorry, I had to. I was at Dirk Gently's.
What? Speak up, I can't hear you.
I was with a private detective, someone I knew at Cambridge. Bit of a shady character, really.
Richard, what is going on?
I'm in the phone box outside my flat, and you were right. The place is crawling with police.
They think you killed Gordon. I've already told them you couldn't have done it. I mean, they've got to believe the victim's sister, haven't they? But you must talk to them.
I can't. Dirk says it's better to... Oh.
Excuse me, sir. Move along. Sir!
Dolmades!
What?
What?
Souvlaki! A small Greek sausage, madam. Very tasty.
Are you mad?
This is your establishment here, sir.
Restaurant phone bust. Yes, lady. Is party of 42? Start up for person number one.
Oh, calamari.
Medium rare? Over easy? Ah, okay. Person number two.
Never mind.
He's gone. Sorry, Susan. Had to think fast. It was the policeman who stopped me last night.
Did he recognise you?
Kept my head down. Look, can you think of anyone who had a grudge against Gordon? Who'd want him dead?
How long have you got?
Oh, great.
Michael Wenton Weeks for a start.
Wednesday week. But he was with you last night. Mind you, he was behaving very oddly.
And you weren't. Breaking into my flat?
True. Was he with you the whole evening?
Every thrill-packed minute, moaning about how his life was ruined thanks to Gordon and his mother.
Did he mention a monk? He did to me.
Excuse me?
Never mind. Look, I think I'll have to do this Dirk's way.
But Richard!
I'll call you back.
Now, Mr. Wenton Weeks, yes. Do lie down.
Right.
When you're comfortable, tell me where you'd like to start this week.
My mother hates me. I'm sure she's trying to destroy me.
I see. I was rather hoping we'd break new ground.
Right. Well, I'm almost certain I'm being followed by a monk on horseback from outer space.
Right. Let's go back to your mother, shall we?
The BBC economics editor, Davis Evans.
The shockwaves through the world's financial markets...
Can't believe it. He was here last night.
...of the murder of Gordon Way.
Nice enough bloke. Lovely car. Quiet evening too. Well, except for this weird priest bloke who was hanging around. Hang on, Jeff. He's back. I'll catch up later. Yes, sir. Can I help you?
I believe you can help me.
Okay. You want to say something?
I am happy to believe that too, and I will say something. You have the television on while you are working, but no video recorder?
No.
Well, you can relax now. I was watching you yesterday, but I had instructions, so I had to find a way to fulfill them. Now, however, I am able to take over. You may go back to your work.
I am working. Take over what?
Watching the television.
You are?
Have you heard of a labour-saving device?
What, like a dishwasher?
Yes, like a dishwasher. Dishwashers wash tedious dishes for you, thus saving you the bother of washing them yourself. Video recorders watch tedious television for you, leaving you free to listen to the radio or otherwise enjoy life. In the absence of a video recorder, I can take over the tedious business of watching your television. I am an electric monk.
Ah, you're a wind-up. Jeff hired you.
I can save you the bother of believing he did. Electric monks are labor-saving devices. We save you the onerous task of believing all the myriad tiny things that you are daily called upon to sift for veracity.
Right, that does it. Out!
Yes,
out!
I believe. I believe I am being thrown out and that you are propelling me to the door.
Yes, yeah, and stay out!
I believe I'm outside now.
The phone's ringing, Mr. Gently.
Answer it, please, Miss Pierce.
Pay me and I will, Mr. Gently.
Oh!
Dirk Gently's holistic... Sod off!
I hope that wasn't a customer, Miss Pierce.
You'll never know.
Hi, Janice. Me again, Rector McDuff. I urgently need
you
to...
You better ask someone who works here, Mr. McDuff.
Show him in, Miss Pierce.
Show him in yourself!
Oh, I'll do it.
Richard, I've been expecting you. I'd offer you coffee, but Miss Pierce isn't here. Perhaps you'd decide to be once I've been to the bank.
Dirk, listen, I'm in terrible trouble. God, it's dark in here.
I know.
Right, anyway, the police are all over my flat.
Figures?
I think they're armed.
Hard to tell what's under those flak jackets. Mostly it's lunch.
What shall I do?
I suggested a course of action.
Hypnotism?
Important information could be jumbled up in your head that might never emerge because you're not realising its significance. With your permission, we can shortcut all that.
Yes, okay.
Good. Let's start.
What? This minute?
And relax. Completely relaxed. And keep looking at this metronome.
That's a spoon.
Not this spoon. That spoon tied to the metronome. Totally relaxed. Feeling sleepy. Eyelids heavy. Very sleepy. Deep sleep. Listening to my voice. Miss Pierce!
Coming!
Deep sleep. Pen, notebook! Taking you back now.
Notebook, resignation letter. Will this take long?
Not in the hands of an expert.
Well, that's an early finish out the window then.
Richard, I'm taking you back to last night. You attended a dinner at St. Sed's College, Cambridge.
Yes.
I want you to describe exactly what happens in the dining hall. What you see. What you smell.
Boiled carrots and furniture polish.
Where are you sitting?
At high table with my old professor.
Who is?
Urban Chronotis, Regius Professor of Chronology.
Wow, you can do this.
Only with two-legged clients, so far. You can hear the professor over the hubbub quite distinctly.
Yes, he's speaking.
I gather, young Macduff, you've done rather well for yourself at last.
It's all relative, Professor Chronotis.
No, Reg, I insist.
Reg, it's more accurate to say I've done rather well for WayForward Computers.
Did you say computers? I'm so pleased for you. Here, have some salt.
I think I'll wait for the food. Any idea what we're having?
Oh, to the last molecule, dear boy. Imagine the finest, most delightful meal you've ever tasted.
Yeah?
Hold that thought. It'll sustain you through the horrors of what you're about to eat. Luckily for me, I'm not hungry. Now, take the salt before you're killed in the rush. Here.
Good grief. It just...
disappeared? We can see that. Or can we?
It was in your hand.
Oh, not bad for an old, increasingly arthritic hand.
But where is it?
Here, where it always is, behind Professor Corley's ear. See?
Not again, Chronotis.
I have absolutely no idea how you did that.
Or why.
Oh, I'm sorry, Corley. Irritating habit, I know.
Reg, there's a child here. Isn't that against protocol?
Oh.
Or is she the new maths professor?
Corley? Who does the little girl belong to?
Oh, some chap they've invited from the BBC. Flew back today from holiday, came straight from the airport. Daughter had to come with, poor child.
Oh, she looks utterly bored, so she's joined in the general spirit at least. Hello.
Not surprised. Given some old jug to play with and ignored.
The girl found the pot in Greece. I think father was looking for a free valuation. Having the heart to tell him some Peloponnesian potter threw hundreds of the things in 500 BC.
Antiquity does not automatically confer value.
Or, as you'll have found, Chronotis, good taste.
Oh, yes, yes, quite true. See that brick, Richard? Hmm? Wordsworth was once sick on that brick. Great man, but you wouldn't get tuppence for the brick.
Dock leaf soup, Professor.
Oh, dear, thank you, yes.
Dock leaf soup, sir.
Thank you.
Are the dock leaves fresh?
Oh, yes, sir. It says so on the tin.
Not exactly a taste explosion, is it?
It's, different.
Oh, hardly. We have it every time.
We have it every time.
So you eat it?
I'm hungry.
Your appetite is good, because at this stage you have no thoughts of murder, do you?
I could murder a sandwich.
Tell me more about your work.
You what?
Tell me more about your work, my dear.
Is he talking to me?
He's still regretting. Write this down.
Tell me more about your work, my dear chap.
Well, my real passions were computers and music.
I see.
I thought I could make a career out of music. When I finally came to my senses, I got into programming computers. Oh. I spent weeks teaching a prehistoric laptop to play Three Blind Mice. But what we called a computer back then was pretty primitive. Little more than an electric abacus.
Oh, don't underestimate the abacus. It's a remarkably sophisticated calculating device.
Fair point. There wasn't a lot this machine could do that I couldn't do myself in half the time. Ah. But it was very good at being a slow and dim-witted pupil.
They are hardly in short supply. I could hit a dozen from here with this bread roll. Ooh, do some damage too.
I mean that programming is like explaining something complex to someone slow and dim-witted. You have to break things down to their building blocks. In doing so, the teacher can end up learning more than the pupil.
It would be hard to learn less than my pupils without undergoing a prefrontal lobotomy.
Yes, and as a result of this, you found yourself working for Gordon Way of Way Forward Computers.
Gordon read a magazine article I wrote about my work. He wanted to reinvent the wheel.
What?
In computer terms, reinvent accountancy software. That's where the money is. Literally.
Okay, Richard. I read your piece in Fathom. Here's what I want. The guys and dolls of all accounts programs. The West Side Story of business spreadsheets. Bill Gates meets Steve Jobs on Broadway wearing pink spandex.
I'm sorry?
According to you, the building blocks of nature, the way the plants grow, mountains erode, or rivers flow, are fractals. Basic patterns that get complex as they are enlarged. And the closest humans come to expressing these complexities is through music.
Yes, it's the most abstract of the arts. It has no purpose other than to be itself.
But if music is a way of expressing mathematical data, and nature balances itself through the interaction of fractals, with accountancy being essentially the balancing of mathematical data...
Any set of accounts is, in the end, a pattern of numbers, balanced through the interaction of simple rules, like fractals, like music.
Exactly! And that's what I want! An all-singing, all-dancing spreadsheet application like no other.
But there are hundreds of spreadsheet apps packed with features, bar graphs, pie charts...
Sub charts! I want the pie flung out of the screen into my face! I want bar graphs so plush they're upholstered in button leather! A user interface so intuitive it reads my thoughts before I thunk them! Graphics that make the Mona Lisa look like a daub in chimpanzee poo!
Accountancy software that sings!
I need better than that! I need bloody genius! Richard... I don't want the competitors to worry when they see this. I want them to hemorrhage!
Okay, Gordon. I'll give it a go.
Hemorrhage?
The computer business is cutthroat, and Gordon was dealing in dodgy software when every other 12-year-old was dealing playground pogs.
But if you reduce music to mechanical maths, where does the emotion come into it?
The shape of a flower. The way a baby grows. The last chord of a symphony. All can be described by the complex flow of numbers. That's the beauty of it. That's what I demonstrate to Gordon.
Okay, Richard, it's crunch time.
Anthem will take your company accounts and express them as fractal waveforms.
Anthem, fractals, I'm loving the way you're talking.
So, here's WayForward's annual report expressed as a conventional spreadsheet.
Yes, right, traditionally rows of numbers, lots of cells, unintelligible interface.
Here's the same data interpreted by Anthem.
It's Mozart!
Not exactly!
That bar graph's like something by Pixar. Richard, I'm totally rogering this idea. Show me another.
Okay, let's take the UK's balance of payments for the last 5 years.
Delius meets Disney! Look at the cancer match! I got a build up. How do I know you're not just inventing this?
Okay. By way of contrast, here's my tax return for the last fiscal year.
All right, make it stop.
Sorry. I'm a dreadful bookkeeper.
Well, we've got to put this in front of marketing.
Richard, let's get back to last night, the Coleridge dinner at St. Sed's. You've just told Professor Chronotis about Anthem. What happens now?
He's doing another magic trick.
Is he? You're still watching?
Yes. Reg notices how bored the little girl has become. So he goes and fetches a hat and says...
Young lady, regard this simple salt cellar. Regard this simple hat.
Then he puts the salt cellar in the hat. And it disappears. And there's a kind of chill that goes through.
Hang on. Does it reappear?
The salt cellar? Yes. In the Greek pot, belonging to the little girl. Reg asks permission to smash it. And there's the salt cellar. Impressive trick.
He put it there.
He couldn't. The hole in the pot is too small.
A plant.
A pot plant?
The little girl was a plant. In on the trick, or... No. Does she seem to know Reg well?
Not at all. But ever since he's come back with the hat, he's been sort of flushed and quiet. I ask him if he's all right.
Me, yes. Yeah, I'm just a bit peckish.
I thought you'd been hungry.
Wasn't I?
Gentlemen, box liver and shandy on a bed of roasted crabs.
So it is.
With carrots.
Oh, quite extraordinary.
Well, in the end, you know, Anthem's just maths.
No, I mean the liver...
Silence for the provost.
As tradition demands, I shall recite the noble text from memory. In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree, where Alph the sacred river ran, through caverns measureless to man, down to a sunless sea.
And this is when they start the Coleridge reading.
The what?
Samuel Taylor Coleridge, early 19th century poet and laudanum addict.
A junkie poet?
It's an annual dinner in his honour.
Ah.
And no, I won't organise one here so you can roll spliffs in the office and knock out dirty limericks on the back of unpaid invoices.
How did you...
Richard, what's happening now?
The provost gets to the second part of the poem. The part where it gets really weird.
To Asgard, where Odin's son quells the rhinoceros. And lo... He stays his hammer.
Reg. Sorry. How much longer do you think this goes on for?
Oh, God knows. It's one of the longest poems in English literature. One begins to see the appeal of laudanum.
Just, I have to drive back to London tonight.
You leave?
No. I'll promise Reg I'll have a drink with him afterwards. So we go back to his room.
See if you can find the sofa. It's probably under something. Oh, sit on it if you can. I don't know if you'll manage it. It always feels to me as if it's been stuffed with cabbage leaves and cutlery. Do you have a good sofa?
I have, but I've never sat on it.
Oh.
Not that I wouldn't like to. It's stuck halfway up the stairs to my flat. The delivery men got it jammed trying to turn it in the stairwell. It won't budge either way. I'm trying to solve the problem using computers.
Ah, computers again, yes. So, what about the rest of your life, young Macduff? Are you married?
Well, no, not married as such, but yes, there is a specific girl that I'm not married to.
Is she a computer bod as well?
Professional cellist. In fact, she's also Gordon's sister. I'm not sure Susan really approves of computers that much. She hangs around a lot with this literary type. Total nutter. Actually, you might remember him. Contemporary of mine. Michael Wenton Weeks.
A few months ago... He asked me to join the board of his wretched magazine.
Huh?
What's it called?
Fathom. He published my article about fractals in Fathom. Said he didn't understand it.
Fathom, that's it. His mother's, Lady... What's her name? She's always on the phone. Wants to build a college and new library.
Lady Magna. She's just sold Fathom.
Oh?
To Gordon Way, of all people. I don't even think Michael knows yet.
He must by now. It's been all over the financial pages.
Now, Michael, darling.
Yes, Mother.
How shall I talk to you? As my son or as the former editor of Fathom?
Well,
close your mouth, please. We've lost pianos that way.
What do you mean, former editor?
I'm so glad that's out of the way. Now, look at these figures. The ones on the right are your reports for the incomings and outgoings of Fathom.
Yes.
The ones on the left show the actual figures. So, that's all perfectly satisfactory, then.
Don't you want to hear what I've...
Darling, I'd sooner shut my nipple in a car door. I'm sure the new owner of Fathom will be glad to listen to whatever it is.
What? You're actually selling Fathom?
I've already sold it.
Who have you sold it to?
Gordon Huey.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mother. I won't let you get away with this.
That's exactly what Gordon said when I showed him these figures. Now, darling, I can see you're troubled by this. Don't you have an appointment?
You haven't heard the last of this.
Is he all right? Seems to have drifted off.
It's quite normal, I hope. Now, Richard. Richard?
Richard!
Shh! Richard.
I'm listening.
Have you left the Professor's living room?
That chance. He's making tea now.
I want you to tell me what you see.
There's an abacus on the table. Very old. Very well used. And a book.
Do you look at it?
I pick it up. It's a guide to the Greek islands.
Is it now?
And a piece of paper falls out of it. It says, "Regard this silver salt cellar. Regard this simple hat."
Rich has written down the words he was going to say to the little girl.
Yes.
How could he know she'd be at the dinner?
Indeed. And then, Richard?
Yes, please.
What?
Reg is asking if I want milk.
One lump or two?
One, please.
Sugar?
Sorry, there was a... I dropped your bookmark. What were you saying?
The sugar. Just a tiny joke of mine to see if people are listening.
Reg just hurled the tray onto the floor. He looks panicked. I don't know what's got into him.
Go on.
I'm fine. Glass of port instead?
No, thanks. Do you need a doctor?
No, I'm fine, perfectly well. I thought I heard the noise startled me. It was nothing. Overcome with the tea fumes, I expect. I'm sorry, I must catch my breath.
What kind of noise?
That. Did you hear it?
Yes. It seems to be coming from above the kitchen. Is there someone up there?
Nobody that should be there.
Then?
I must go up. I must. Please, wait for me here.
What if it's a burglar? Listen, I'll go. I'm sure it's nothing. It's just the wind or something.
Stand aside, Macduff. It is for me to do. When I come back down these stairs, if my behavior strikes you as being odd in any way, if I appear to be not myself, then you must stop me and wrestle me to the ground. Do you understand? At all costs, you must prevent me from doing anything.
But how will I know? Sorry, that came out wrong. But how do I know?
You will know. You must wait for me here.
Freezing in here.
It's all right. It's just a horse in the bathroom.
That's odd enough for me.
Get off! Let me go! I'm all right. It's just a horse, a perfectly ordinary horse. But yes. Thank you for taking me at my word.
A horse? I don't understand what any of this means, but I'm going to find out.
What can you see? Tell me exactly.
A bathroom. Not very large. Paneled in oak linen fold. The other fittings are pretty institutional. Scuffed black and white lino. Enamel bath. Chipped, but clean. Small basin with a toothbrush and toothpaste in a glass. Lavatory with original chain pool system. A cream-painted wooden cupboard in the corner with an old bent wood chair next to it. And a large horse. Good girl. Stay. As you were. Okay, according to all my five senses, you do seem to have a horse in your bathroom. And is that port still on offer?
Yes, a good thing your friend didn't come along after all.
Friend?
Well, you came alone.
Susan, I've really got to go. Can I borrow your phone?
No, certainly, yes, if you can find it.
Don't you find losing your phone inconvenient?
Oh, not really. It doesn't work.
Oh, Mr. Macduff, isn't it?
You remembered?
All porters never forget the young gentleman, sir. Even when we try. Say goodnight to you, sir.
Look, is there a horse anywhere in the college? I mean, you would know if there was, wouldn't you?
No, and yes, I would, sir.
Thanks.
Dear, oh dear.
Right, here's your brother belt.
Thanks. You can say what you like about people. They don't get any less peculiar. Fella just now asking if there was a horse in the college.
Yeah? Well, I had a bloke in the lodge earlier.
Well, or a priest.
He seemed happy just to stand by the fire and listen to the radio. Oh,
blooming nerve. Standing in front of your fire like that.
In the end, I told him to shoot off. Didn't want to use language. You know. And this priest says, is that really what I must do? Shoot off. And I said, yes, shoot off. And he just looked me straight in the eyes and he said that he believed me.
Foreigners.
I only mentioned it because he also said he left his horse in the washroom and could I see it was all right for hay?
Excellent, Richard. Mm. Now you will wake up on the count of three. One, two, three. Mm. And wide awake. Mm. Near enough?
Any help?
No, I'd say so, wouldn't you, Miss Pierce?
He could have been making it up.
What?
How could he know about that last bit?
What last bit?
That stuff with the porters and the priest. He'd left by then.
Well, no, I was just outside looking for my car keys. I overheard them.
Oh!
What?
I've just remembered what else I saw last night, just before the policemen arrived.
Oh, I'm getting shivers again.
I saw Gordon in the road, flagging me down.
What time was this?
10 o'clock. I checked my watch because I thought Susan might have gone to bed.
You saw a ghost. Time of death was estimated at 9 to 9:30. Come on!
Where are we going?
To visit the scene of the crime.
In episode 2 of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency by Douglas Adams, Harry Enfield played Dirk Gently and Billy Boyd was Richard Macduff. Olivia Colman was Janice Pierce, Felicity Montague, Susan Way, and Michael Fenton Stevens played Michael Wenton Weeks. Toby Longworth was the Electric Monk, Robert Duncan played Gordon Way, Jim Carter was Jilks, and Andrew Sachs played Professor Chronotis. Tamsin Heatley was Lady Magna, and Andy Seacombe, the psychiatrist. John Glover played Professor Corley. Philip Pope was the garage attendant, and Neil Sleet played the newsreader. The announcer was John Marsh. The music was by Philip Pope. The programme was dramatised by Dirk Maggs and John Langdon. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency was produced by Joe Wheeler and the director, Dirk Maggs, and was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4.